Good morning. I'm Donna Quinn, and for the next half hour, you'll be listening to Talk of Our Towns. Today, I have in the studio one of my favorite guests, McAndrew Burns. McAndrew, Mac Burns, is the executive director of the Clatsop County Historical Society. And we're going to find out what happened in 2012 and what's going on in 2013 at the Clatsop County Historical Society. Mac Burns, thank you for being here.
Well, thanks for having me. I was worried there at that introduction you might ask me suddenly, like, what happened in 1912 or 1913?
Well, wait, you're a historian, though. I imagine you would know at least some little factoid about what happened in 1912.
I'll make something up that sounds really, really good.
Is that, yeah, that's right. Now, how much of history is really true and how much is just,
Well, that's a great question, because that's something that museum people and historians debate all the time. I work for one guy, the very first museum I ever worked in, the curator of the museum. If you couldn't find it in the paper, it didn't happen. And it didn't matter if you could find somebody's diary or somebody's letters from that same time period describing something. If it wasn't printed in the paper, it did not happen.
But
and that was always shocking to me, because that's only one form of communication.
Exactly. That's exactly right. And now there are so many. So, Mac, please, for the listeners who are not familiar with you, although you're such
a... How could that be?
McAndrew Burns, Mac Burns, our very own. Please tell listeners about yourself.
Okay. Well, my name is Mac Burns, and I've been the executive director of the Clatsop County Historical Society for almost 10 years. We moved here... because we just fell in love with the town. There was an opening, job opening, and I had been running the Ethan Allen Homestead in Burlington, Vermont. Before that, I ran the Pony Express Museum in St. Joe, Missouri. But it was time to move on from Vermont, and I actually came here in January, and it was rainy and a little cold, and I just walked around the town and chatted with different people, toured the different museums, went out to Fort Clatsop, and through the Maritime Museum, and just fell in love with the community and the people here and the challenge of what the Historical Society was and what it could be.
Isn't it true, Mac, that you really feel the history on every street corner here? When you walk around those cracked sidwalks, there are stories everywhere.
There are stories everywhere. And, you know, one of the things that was for a museum guy and an historian that was really kind of liberating was my background. The museums that I've worked in are all very focused. We're all very focused on a specific event or a specific time period. You know, the life of Ethan Allen, the Revolutionary War. The Pony Express lasted 18 months. Before that, I was at a living history site in Wichita, Kansas, that was just the cattle years, 15 years. And then to come here where we can talk about, you know, millennia of history. You can go back to the Chinook and the Clatsops. You can talk about John Jacob Astor, Lewis and Clark. You can talk about World War II. I mean, it just goes on to what happened yesterday. It's an amazing liberation.
Exactly. And for those listeners who also are not familiar with the Clatsop County Historical Society, what is it? What do you do?
Great. Well, we've, depending who you talk to, we might have been around in the 1890s as the Pioneer Historical Society. We were certainly around by the 1930s and 40s when there was just a group of people that had a little exhibit case in the courthouse. But we really definitely came into living when the Flavelle House was going to be bulldozed. It needed a parking lot for the courthouse, and the county leadership decided to bulldoze the house.
And, what year was that, Mac?
It was in the late 1940s. And certainly a courthouse needs a parking lot. I'm not going to, you know, condemn those folks, just not where the Flavelle House stands. It can go somewhere else. And the group got together and said, no, this is a cherished part of our history, and we could do something great with this building. And they made exhibits in the 1950s and 60s and 70s, right up through the 80s. That was kind of the local history museum. And in the captain's bedroom would be the Native American exhibit. And in Nellie's bedroom was the maritime exhibit. And that was just kind of like a small local rural museum. Then they had the dream when the old City Hall, which is now the Heritage Museum, became available when the Columbia River Maritime Museum moved out. That building was for sale, and the Historical Society, Michael Foster and Bob Lovell and some other folks, raised enough money in the 80s to move the museum there, and let's take the house back to the way it looked when the captain and his family lived there. And then sometime in the 90s, we acquired the old fire station number 2 and opened the Upper Town Firefighters Museum. And then 2.5 years ago, we worked out a deal with the county to lease for $1 a year the old county jail. And in time for the Goonies' 25th anniversary, we opened the Oregon Film Museum.
So from the Flavel House, which was the first museum, you now are the executive director of a historical society which has 4 museums in Astoria, Oregon.
Yeah, what I like to talk about, I'm an historian first and foremost, but one of the not quite as fun parts of my job is dealing with budgets, of course. We're a nonprofit. We get $1,000 a year from the county. And other than that, we have to have friends in the community, memberships, and charge admission. But our budget stands at about $450,000 a year. And that includes us taking care of 6 buildings and a full-time staff of 5. You've got the Carriage House Visitor Center. Donna's trying to count with her hands here how many buildings we have. Besides the 4 museums, we actually have the Carriage House Visitor Center that we have to take care of. So that's 5. And then we also acquired about a year ago the old Morris Glass Building, kitty corner behind the Flavel House and by the Oregon Film Museum, with the notion of using that to support the film museum storage and maybe someday an expansion if it warrants it.
You've had a pretty ambitious agenda while you've been here.
It has been a lot for a small historical society. Again, with a full-time staff of 5, a lot of volunteer help. We couldn't accomplish just even an iota of what we do without all the wonderful volunteers. We're open 352 days a year and publish things like Cum Tux. And we've had a pretty ambitious temporary exhibit schedule ever since we put an elevator into the Heritage Museum. We've accomplished a lot for a small organization.
And what does the Historical Society need right now? I mean, could you use more volunteers? Obviously, memberships. And the memberships are so nominal. It's such a great way to be part of the history of this area, is to support the Historical Society.
It's a smoking deal. An individual membership is $35, a family's $55, and of course, we always take more, as any nonprofit does. But that membership gets you into all of our museums, gets you discounts in their gift shops, 10% off. It also gets you discounts on most of our events and invitations to special events. We do a behind-the-scenes tour every now and then. We give lectures. And then we also have, of course, Cum Tux, the historical quarterly journal. Cum Tux is a Chinook Indian word that means to know, to share. And we've been putting that out 4 times a year for 32 years now, I think. 30 years, somewhere around there. It's pretty phenomenal.
Why don't we talk about each of the museums separately? People can go to the Flavel House, which is just stunningly beautiful, and they can go to the Carriage House and watch a movie. Let's talk about the experience of going to the Flavel House, and then we'll move on to some of the other museums.
Yeah, well, it is. I like that you use the word experience, because it is an experience, and it kind of breaks our hearts when people don't watch the movie and just want to go through the house, because it's not just a house, it's a home. And that's part of the charm. There are tons of historic houses out there. I mean, we get compared a lot to the Pittock Mansion. But the real charm of the Flavel House is that we have so much documentation information about the family. We have a lot of their original possessions, their furniture, photographs, Nellie's diary. She kept a diary most of her life. We've got 30 volumes of it. Incredible detail that we know where they were on certain days and what they were doing. And that video kind of sets you up for, why is this important? What is this family all about?
Right. Why is Captain Flavel's house so significant?
Yeah. And who are these daughters we talk about? Nellie and Katie and Mary the wife. And, the house is a great house. You can just go through it and appreciate the woodwork, and you can appreciate this is what the Victorians in 1880, 1890, how they lived, if they had a certain level of affluence. But to get that story, it just makes it a little more real. And one of the things I love reading in the visitor guest book is when people say it feels like they just left and they might come home from church at any moment, or visiting another family. And that's really kind of our mission, is to make that come to life. We're not in costume or anything, maybe someday, but we want you to feel like this is stepping back in time. And one of the kind of cutest things or charming things that I like is that when you pay for your admission at the Carriage House, your ticket to get you into the actual house, we give you a little calling card and explain that in Victorian times, if you were going to call on a family like the Flavels, when you arrived at the front door, you'd present your calling card, kind of like a modern-day business card. And if I'm working in the gift shop for some reason, I'll say, and don't forget to present your calling card to the lady of the house when you arrive at the front door. And, you know, it just sort of adds to that stepping back in time feel.
And as this world is changing so rapidly in so many ways, which is really difficult for us biologically, I think, to keep up with, it is so wonderful to know that we can be rooted in history and step back in time. These places become ever more important.
Well, one of the along those lines, one of the most charming events that we do every September, the second weekend in September, we used to call it Victorian Fun and Games, and we changed to Old Fashioned Fun and Games. But it's just a whole bunch of activities from the time period: apple pressing, butter making, rope making, potato sack races, and games and activities from the time period. And we get families coming, and it's just amazing that on just the backyard of the Flavel House, families will come and spend 2 or 3 hours. And it's amazing that, gee, I can have fun without the TV, without the computer, without the computer game, without my cell phone. And it really is kind of like stepping back in time. And it's just very charming to watch that kids get jazzed by the same games that their great-great-grandparents got jazzed by.
And the Flavel House, not only is it a gorgeous home, but the grounds are stunning. I mean, you have a ginkgo tree, the foliage, the trees. It's quite amazing.
Yeah, it really is. It's just a stepping back in time. I mean, the entire grounds just feel like you're transported someplace else.
All right, so you go to the Flavel House, you have that experience, and then let's go to the next museum. Where are you going to take me now?
Well, the Heritage Museum is actually the museum that I fell in love with that made me move here, actually. It's a small, local, rural museum, history museum, like you'd expect. But I feel like over the last 10 years, we've made so many upgrades. And like I said, we have a pretty aggressive temporary exhibit gallery in the upstairs, the Ed Parker Gallery. We do at least 2 exhibits a year. For a brief period, we were doing 3 or 4 and realized that was just crazy. And we've got 2 of the 3 main galleries on the first floor done. We tell the story of the Cedar people, the Native Americans that were here before Lewis and Clark arrived and messed things up. And then we have one we opened in time for the bicentennial of Astoria, the Astor Party, Astor's people, about the founding of Astoria and the fur trade and why this place exists as a permanent settlement. And then in the near future, we'll be completing the upgraded immigrant gallery that'll talk about all the different immigrant groups that came here from the British and the Americans through the Scandinavians and the Chinese right up to more modern Hispanics and retirees from California.
So if you really want to get a feeling for this, the history of this area, going to the Heritage Museum will give you that foundation information, that foundational information.
I think so. It's not going to be complete because there are so many stories. I mean, I could quadruple the size of that building and there still wouldn't be enough room to tell all the stories. And the Immigrant Gallery will touch on timber and fishing, but those could be an entire building unto themselves and probably should be sometime in the future.
I think the displays at the Heritage Museum are really quite extraordinary. Like you said, given the fact that it's a small museum, the building itself is beautiful. The exhibits are excellent. You have that, you had, I think, a most wicked kind of...
Most wicked place on earth.
Yes.
That was one of my favorite temporary exhibits. We actually left that one up for about a year and a half because it was so well received. And there's still a little bit of that. We call it the Vice and Virtue. Which is what that had outgrown from, and now we've taken it back. So there's a little bit of that a scandalous side to a story that we tell.
So that's the Heritage Museum. And if you've just tuned in, you're listening to Talk of Our Towns. I'm your host, Donna Quinn. And today my guest is MacAndrew Burns, Mac Burns. He is the executive director of the Clatsop County Historical Society. And we're talking about the 4 museums that the Historical Society maintains. And they have 6 buildings altogether. And we'll be talking about some of their events as well. So we've just visited the Flavel House Museum. Then we've gone to the Heritage Museum. Now where are we going to go?
Well, we should talk about the Oregon Film Museum because a lot of people, since it is fairly new in the big scheme of things, don't quite know what it is yet or haven't visited, haven't had the opportunity. And it really is, you know, when we first started it, we thought it was going to be a very specific age group, but I'm finding that's not true. It appeals to ages of all spectrums here. But it's in the old county jail where, of course, the Goonies, the very beginning of the movie, The Goonies, was filmed. It was also featured, though, in a couple of other movies, Come See the Paradise and Short Circuit. And a still of it was actually used in an episode of 21 Jump Street way back in the late 80s, early 90s there. But the county made a deal with us and allowed us to move into the first floor. And what we really want to teach people about is the legacy of filmmaking in Oregon. There have been over 300 major motion pictures made in the state before there even was a Hollywood. The very first major motion picture in the state was filmed right here in 1908, The Fisherman's Bride. And, of course, we have some of the iconic ones with Free Willy, Kindergarten Cop, and, of course, The Goonies, where people keep coming back. Throughout the state, there have been tons of great movies filmed. The Shining, Animal House, of course, people know that one, Stand By Me. And this is something that more of the travel organizations are finally kind of gelling to, that people, when they fall in love with a movie and they know it was filmed in a specific place, a lot of people go and find that spot. And that's the whole reason we built this museum, was we knew the Goonies fans were coming to Clatsop County. It's not just Astoria. They all go to Cannon Beach as well. So we want to celebrate that. Part of what we've just pulled online last year in 2012 that really kind of came to fruition is the filming experience, where we've created three hot sets within the building, and you can make your own Oregon film. Now we give you a little card that you can scan, and you get 5 takes. You can read lines from some of your favorite movies. You can make up your own. There's a fake car set, and there's a green screen behind it, so you're driving on the beach in Cannon Beach. There's 2 that are green screens, and then there's a third that talks a little bit about cinematography techniques.
So if someone is not familiar with a green screen, Mac, we should just mention that, first of all, just walking into the jail itself is just a great experience. And then to be able to make your own, to see the jail cells and everything, mm-hmm. and to be able to make your own short film. So to do that, what is a green screen?
A green screen is a technology that was actually invented by George Lucas for Star Wars way back in 76, 77. And what it is an actor can act something out, and they do it in front of a green screen. It's kind of like what the weatherman does on TV a lot of times. And they just have this background that's a certain color. It's often green. When George Lucas invented it, it was blue. But then the computer recognizes anything that's green gets a certain picture or a certain footage put into it. So you can be in front of wherever you want. You can be in front of the Grand Canyon. You can be driving down a road. You can be fighting giant ants, you know, whatever you want. And that's what this green screen thing is. It's computer technology that just recognizes fill it in. And what's kind of funny is when somebody wears a green shirt in by accident without thinking about it, and then all of a sudden their body gets the same footage, so they're just like a floating head or something. And the weatherman always has to wear a different suit than what's behind him.
Well, I have been in the film museum and have been part of the filming process, and it is so much fun for families, for kids of all ages. I sent a family over recently, and the kids weren't, maybe they were, I don't know, 9 or 10 or something. They had a fabulous time creating this movie that then they can go and show people.
Yeah.
You email it. Don't you email the film to people?
They can do some very rudimentary editing. And it's always going to be a work in progress, as any technology is. But right now they can do some rudimentary editing, put titles in, sound effects, put their takes in order. And usually within about 2 weeks, we email them a link to that, and they can put it on Facebook. They can email it to their friends and family. And, you know, here we are in Oregon making this film. And we look at it as not only just a great fun experience that they learn a little bit about. It's not just a matter of Tom Hanks in front of a camera, that there's a lot of people behind the camera that make that happen. But it's just silly fun, and it's advertising for us and the state and Astoria, and come on back.
And wasn't the Oregon Film Museum recently named the best offbeat museum?
The writers, we had no idea this was going on. The writers of the Oregon, or readers of the Oregonian and OregonLive.com voted us the best offbeat museum. I don't know if there was a list or if people wrote it in or what. We got a little plaque sent to us, and yeah, it was kind of a fun honor.
Well, I think for those rainy days, which we don't have very often here, but if it is a little, if the weather's inclement and you just think, gosh, what am I going to do? I have, you know, Aunt Martha visiting from wherever. Go to the Oregon Film Museum, make a movie.
And what's crazy is the numbers there have been increasing. We've never really kind of had a grand announcement, grand opening. We've not spent a lot of marketing dollars because we've been busy upgrading, and we didn't really want to pull the trigger on any heavy marketing until that filming experience was complete. And it really wasn't complete until August of 2012. But our numbers have gone up each year, and they've actually been beyond what I projected. Last year was a 15.5% growth, and we have a very informal way of polling where people come from. So we only really have numbers of about 2% of our total attendance. But from those numbers, we've had visitors from 47 states. I'm sure we had all 50, but 47, and about 20 foreign countries. And what we're finding is this is a destination. Astoria and Clatsop County, for those Goonies fans, they will come from around the world specifically to here. It's not a matter of I happen to be driving up and down the coast, or I was in Portland and thought I might drive over. They're coming specifically to follow where all the Goonies sites were filmed.
Yes, it's this is a mecca. This has become, you're right, a destination. And so we have the Film Museum, the Flavel House, the Heritage House, and then there's one more museum we haven't talked about.
It's the Poor Stepchild. This is the Uppertown Firefighters Museum. And it has had sporadic hours over the last few years. And we had a wonderful partnership when I first got here with the Astoria Children's Museum. And we allowed them to use the second floor and keep all of the admission income. And they had pretty good numbers, but eventually they moved over to Robert Gray and sort of morphed with the Parks Department and became the Robert Gray Port au Play. And when they moved out, we don't really have the volunteers to keep it open and staffed on a regular basis. And this is something, a bit of a challenge that my board is taking a hard look at of what do we do with it? Financially, the numbers have never really warranted us pumping a lot of money into the facility and paying a staff member to be there. The attendance just isn't there, but it's a very wonderful and very amazing collection. There are a lot of fire museums out there across the country, but what is kind of unique about this one is that it's in an original firehouse, and we still have equipment that was used here in this community. What you'll find in a lot of fire museums is they've gone out and collected the equipment from another state, from another town. And just sort of like the Flavel story, you know, we've got a picture of a fire truck fighting a fire. We've got somebody talking about it, that I was a fireman and I used that fire truck. We've got the fire truck. And to have those three things is very unique. So it's not an easy answer of just looking at the economics and get rid of all the equipment and then sell the building, give it back to the city and sell the equipment. It's harder than that. We have an obligation as a museum to be stewards of our history. And of course, there were two major fires in this community.
That's exactly right. So. And but you never know, Mac. Maybe someone's listening to this radio program and they love firefighting equipment. They love firefighters. They want to honor that. And maybe they want to come and donate. You're a 501c3 nonprofit
Absolutely.
Organization. They want to donate money. Maybe they want to help with volunteering. We just have a few moments left here, but what does the Clatsop County Historical Society need to move forward? I mean, the things that come to my mind, of course, are more local people. Everyone who lives here, come and experience the museums, join the Historical Society, and volunteer. Those are just off the top of my head. What do you need?
I couldn't say it any better than that. people can give in different ways. Some people can write a big check, and that's always appreciated, and it's needed. Our budget is always tough to meet. Some people can't write a big check, and a little check is just as appreciated. Your time is just as appreciated. We always need volunteers, and you can volunteer in different ways.
Well, how do people volunteer then?
Give us a call or come on in, 325-2203. You can email us. You can come on in and visit with us. And usually what we do is we ask, what kinds of things are you interested in? Some people don't want to deal with the public. Some people would rather be behind the scenes in the archives scanning photographs for us, and that's great too. We need everything.
Okay, so there are a lot of different opportunities for ways people can volunteer for the Clatsop County Historical Society.
Definitely.
What are you looking forward to in 2013?
Well, we've got a couple of new exhibits coming online. We'll have a temporary exhibit upstairs in the Heritage Museum, Michael Foster Retrospective. We had an exhibit from Michael Foster's artwork during the Bicentennial, and he's going to do a repeat of different artwork, though. We've got the permanent exhibit, Immigrant Gallery, and there's always fun events happening, and we're going to make changes to the Oregon Film Museum, always upgrading.
The Oregon Film Museum, that's the new baby here that's getting a lot of attention and is really wonderful. And events, you also do have, as we talked about, the old-fashioned fun and games. I mean, there are events that you do throughout the year so
throughout
that people can learn more about the history and be part of that. So we have a couple minutes left, Mac. What else would you like the listening audience to know?
Oh, gosh. I thought we were because I can always talk
We've
about different events.
We've stretched a little time here somehow.
You know, the Talking Tombstones, of course, is one of my favorite activities. You know, we pick a different cemetery every year, and it always amazes me that we get 500-plus people to come out and stand in the rain in a coldy last Sunday of October every year. And we bring 10 different characters to life. And, you know, I've been asked about that. Is it sacrilegious when you're standing over somebody's grave? But I think what better monument to tell their story and keep their story alive? We've been in the Pioneer Hillside Cemetery. We've been all over. And that's always locked in. It's the last Sunday in October. Of course, we have the Fun and Games event. We have Mother's Day tea and scones. We do a casino night in February, March. The last couple of years, we've done a New Year's Eve event, which has been a fundraiser and just a fun event. And, you know, there's always something, so check in with us.
There is. I mean, it's a vibrant, exciting organization, the Historical Society. And, again, I think it's so important that we honor the past and that we really educate ourselves and we are able to live in this area, which is so rich with all of the things that have happened here.
We are lucky we get to live here.
We are very, very fortunate. Well, Mac Burns, thank you so much for being on the program today, giving us an update on the Historical Society. If you'd like to become a volunteer, join the organization, find out what they're doing, get involved, you can call the Clatsop County Historical Society at 503-325-2203. And you can look for Mac Burns' smiling face around town. He's always looking for things, ways to bring old history to life, and I think you're creating some new history right now too. Anyway, I want to thank you again, Mac, for everything you're doing, and I want to thank our engineer extraordinaire Terry Wilson. Thank you, Terry, and local talented banjo instructor Michael Bruin for his original theme music for this program. Until next week, find a moment for yourself today. Take a deep breath. With gratitude for all the good things in your life, focus on those good things. There are always going to be things that knock us off balance, knock us off center, things that happen in the news which are disturbing to us. And if we can bring our attention to those things in our lives which are positive and healthy and good, that will help us cope with life. So focus on feeling good and then give yourself a loving and compassionate hug or a pat on the back for being uniquely you, for doing the best you can, and for being here now in this moment, the only moment which exists on the amazing planet we call Earth.